Hey, metalheads, this is Leather from Sledge Leather, and you're listening to Scott on Focus on Metal.
Focus on Metal!
Hey, metalhead, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to another episode of that, which we like to call Focus on Metal. Can you believe it? It's freaking August already, halfway through summer. And I think almost everybody out there would agree that it has been a great summer for metal here. I think that is definitely evidenced by our show last week featuring the brand new solo release from Veronica Freeman. It's called Now or Never. If you haven't listened to last week's episode or haven't picked up that disc yet, I would definitely urge you to do both of those things. And this week we have another female vocalist-oriented show for you. We will be speaking with Kara Stevens and also Chad Austin of the band Kara and the Damn Band. My deciding to play the interview that I did with Kara and Chad this week ties into another very cool announcement here. As many of you may or may not know, we are carried by several different internet radio stations, and 2 weeks ago we were picked up by yet another one. That is theindieauthority.com. Those guys contacted us and asked if we would be interested in coming on board. And of course, we're always eager to get the show out to as many people as we can. That is ideally the best way we can support all the bands that we have right here on the show. And obviously from the name of that station, they are heavily focused on independent artists. And from week to week, as you all you guys know, we're kind of a mix of mainstream people and independent people. So hopefully it's going to be a really good fit between us and the Indie Authority. So if you're looking for another place to listen to us online during your metal week, we will be on theindieauthority.com on Thursdays at noontime. So check us out there, and also check out all the other great programs and DJs that they have on the station. And big thanks to Lady Spitfire for inviting us on board. And sadly, I have to announce that we will no longer be on Audio Graffiti. We've been on Audio Graffiti for a couple of years, and I honestly, like a few minutes before I sat down to begin this show, I had an email from Mark from Audio Graffiti, and Mark had to let me know that sadly they were shutting things down over there. He was going to go try to do some different stuff. So we will no longer be on Audio Graffiti over in the UK. Fortunately, though, we are carried by another great station over in the UK. That is Platinum Rock Radio, which is at platinumrockradio.com. And Platinum Rock Radio plays us every Tuesday at 10 p.m. GMT time. And also, they're usually pretty cool about repeating us some other time in the week. So definitely go up to platinumrockradio.com, and you can check on the show schedule. And each week, you can see, you know, the normal slot and then the other slot that we're in for a repeat. And also check out all the other really cool shows that they have right there on Platinum Rock Radio. And since we're going over some of the other places that we're played on, let's go through the other ones as well. Of course, we're on Pure Rock Radio up in Canada. They have been with us since almost the very beginning. I think we started getting carried over there between show one or two or something, but way, way back. And Rich over at Pure Rock Radio, him and his team, they've been playing us faithfully for almost 4 years now, and they play us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Time, and that is aired out of Saskatchewan, so they actually don't celebrate any kind of, I don't know what you call it, celebrate, recognize, whatever the hell it is, but they don't do any of the daylight savings time thing, so definitely go up to purerockradio.net, and you can check out the schedule, see what time the whole thing works out too, but we are on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. up there. And again, big thanks to Rich for carrying us for, well, geez, almost 4 years now. Can you believe that? And also, last but certainly not least, we are also on Metal World Radio, and they air us every Wednesday. We kick off the Wednesday show schedule, and we roll at 1 o'clock. So if you want other places to catch us, might be more convenient for you, whatever, there you go. There's a whole bunch of different places you can catch us between the Indie Authority and Pure Rock Radio, Platinum Rock Radio, and Metal World Radio. Also, as long as we're making connections and giving shout-outs, I might as well also talk to you guys about the Decibel Geek podcast. Great podcast. I know if you've been a long-time listener, you've heard me mention those guys, Chris and Aaron, several times, and we do tend to go in the same kind of circles of a lot of the bands and subjects that we cover as well. And I think we're a pretty complimentary podcast between us and the Decibel Geek. And I just want to direct you guys up to their new and improved website at decibelgeek.com. Great stuff. I love the look of it. But also, if you click on to their friends page, you will see that, hey, this is a show called Focus on Metal and this big, long list of other podcasts that those guys are friends with. And we also kind of have the distinction of being one of the few shows that are on that list that are non-KISS related. And, of course, our friends at Talking Metal are also on there, and also our very, very good friend Victor with his Mars Attacks is on that list as well. Mostly a lot of different KISS podcasts on there. So if you're into KISS or you want to just find out more about it or whatever, some great podcasts on there. And of course, you know, the Decibel Geek podcast, always a great one. I listen to it myself, always enjoy what they do. And I will say that for a couple of guys doing a show out of Nashville, there's no country in those guys. Those guys are definitely pure hard rock and metal. And they practically live in Michael Wagner's backyard. So how freaking cool is that, right? All right, so with that out of the way, I'm trying to think here. You know, I always want to write all this stuff down that I'm supposed to talk about. And I thought I was going to do it this time. But just like remembering riffs and things, like going, oh, I'll remember. I kind of approached the show this week of thinking, oh, I'll remember everything I have to talk about. And now I'm thinking, geez, I should have made that list because I know I'm forgetting crap. Well, all right, I know what I'm going to do. Why don't I just play a track of the week and we'll take it from there. All right, track of the week this week. In keeping with the independent theme of the show this week, I thought I better make sure that my track of the week artist is also an indie, and I knew a great place to get another indie artist. And of course, Kara and the Damn Band are handled by Online Metal Promotion, and Online Metal Promotions, OMP, to those of us who know these guys. They put out a couple of compilation albums every year, and recently they put one out with Breath Fresher. They put one out called Hello Tokyo, OMP Rearmed and Ready Volume 2. And anyone who listened to the show for a while now knows that we love compilation albums. And Jay and I, way back in the day, did a whole, I think, two episodes, maybe even three, just on some great compilation albums that we had gotten. And the stuff that OMP puts out throughout the year, every year, are also very, very cool, packed with great bands, lots of varieties in there. You can always find stuff that you like on these compilation albums. And this one is no different. And of course, Kara and the Damn Band, they happen to be on this latest compilation from OMP, along with probably another five or six former Focus on Metal guests. Maxwell Carlisle's on here. And Corners of Sanctuary is on this one. Lords of the Trident and Raven's Thorn and Gun Driver, Diamond Lane, Zephaniah, Carl Kennedy's on here. The list goes on of people that are on this compilation that have been right here on Focus on Metal. But a band that is on this compilation that's never been on the show is a band from Germany. The band's called Strangelet. To be honest, I don't know a heck of a lot about this band, but I'm, you know, one of the cool things about compilations is you listen to them and you go, hey, wow, you discover a new band. So I'm listening through and I come up to this track and it just has this, I don't know, it had this real European sound. It was different than a lot of the other bands on there. And just kind of hooked into it a little bit, went and checked out a little bit more. And yep, definitely a band from Germany. The track is off of their first and only CD so far. It's called First Bite, came out last year, and they only provide the CD directly from the band themselves. Kind of an interesting marketing technique. So if you dig the track and you want to hear more, you can go to strangelet-band.de. And that is strangelet-band.de. From there, you'll find a link. You can shoot them an email and ask about getting the CD, and you should be good to go. So let's roll a little track of the week here from the band Strangelet, from their CD called First Bite. A little indie music here. The name of the track is called Tainted. We are. And rock and roll, we will never fall.
no matter where or when, 'cause the best is yet to come. We are, we are.
Track of the week. The band is called Strangelet. The track was called Tainted. And again, you can get a hold of those guys at strangelet-band.de off of one of the great online metal promotion compilation discs. And keep your eyes peeled. You may see an announcement in the not-so-distant future of maybe a Focus on Metal OMP compilation. Who knows? So on to our guest this week. It is Kara and the Damn Band. And I'm not going to explain about the origin of that because talk about it in the interview. But many weeks ago, I sat down with Chad Austin and Kara Stevens from Kara and the Damn Band. Had a great chat. Went much, much longer than I even expected it to. I figured that we were going to do the standard maybe 20, 25-minute quick interview. Ended up being almost an hour. And I have to say that these guys were really, really candid and very honest. Here's a band being interviewed on a metal show, and they are candid enough to come right out and talk about how they started off doing country and different things and how it didn't feel right and the metal felt right. And, you know, a lot of bands, I think, would just be going, you know, we're metal, all metal. But they were very honest and open about all of their other past musical indiscretions that got them to this point. So last year, they released one called Alone in the Dark, and it's very much a mix of different things. There's ballads on there. There's stuff that's a little more of a country vein. There's pop stuff on there. And, of course, there's some hard rock and metal on there as well. And Kara Stevens is, you know, she could do whatever the hell she wants to do with her voice. She's very, very versatile as a singer. So it was cool to have that kind of an album coming from these guys and see all the different things that she can do. That was one thing, if you listened last week to my talk with Veronica, one thing I really liked about having her do the solo album is hearing her voice outside of Benedictum doing other things. So I do like that. I like when I can hear a singer or an artist do more than what I'm normally used to hearing them do. But in this case, I've heard them do all that stuff. Now I want to hear them do all metal. And that's what they talk about, is that they really, what felt right when they were playing live, and these guys are definitely, you'll hear it in the interview, they're a live band. This is where they live and breathe. And, you know, they talk about doing live gigs, and it just felt right whenever they were doing the heavier stuff. And they talk a lot about that being their future direction, and that they were going to be having another single that was coming out a few weeks after the interview that was showing more of where they were going to next. And fortunately, that single is now out. So I thought this is going to be a very cool thing. Rather than just have you hear the interview with Kara and Chad and hear some samples off of Alone in the Dark and then hear about this direction that they're going in and not really know what it's going to be except by their description, I thought, what a great opportunity. The single is out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you the brand new one, which is called One Day, One Night. And from there, going to go right into the interview with Kara and Chad. I thought this would be a great way to do it, right? You'll be able to hear what that new direction is right from the get-go. And if you're a guitar player and you think you want to be part of that new direction, here's something very cool that the Kara and the Damn Band, they are based out of San Antonio, Texas. They are looking for an 80s-style rock guitarist slash shredder to join their ranks. The new guitarist will be required to perform both original material as well as high-energy cover songs, playing approximately 8 to 10 shows a month. This sounds like something you are interested in. You can contact Chad Austin via email at cdaustin68@gmail.com. So there you go. Focus on Metal, trying to bring guitar players and independent artists together. So here it is, the new one from Kara and the Damn Band called One Day, One Night. And from here, we'll go right into my talk with Kara Stevens and Chad Austin of Kara and the Damn Band. Guys, I have got another great band for you on the show this week. That would be Kara and the Damn Band. Great name for a band. It reminds me of a band I played in back many, many years ago called Those Guys, just because it was always like, who are you with? Oh, I'm playing with those guys. And we finally decided to call ourselves Those Guys. So when I saw, you know, your band name, Kara and the Damn Band, I could just picture people saying like, you know, oh, it's Kara and that Damn Band. Of course, once you read the dramatic, amazing, mesmerizing story, it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's how you got at it. But initially when I saw the name, that's what popped into my head, is just imagining someone going, oh, yeah, it's Kara and the Damn Band.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how we did it, because we were sitting around talking, or like, that finally I said, what the hell are we going to name this Damn Band? And then we kind of like, hey, there it is. So... Awesome. The dramatic, amazing, or mesmerizing came later. A fan actually came up with that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, after the show, this fan came up to me, and it was awesome because he was there the whole time, and he said, you know, I finally know what Dan stands for. And I was like, well, what is that? And he was like, D stands for dramatic, A stands for amazing, and M is mesmerizing. And I thought that was really cool, so we stuck with it.
Yeah, well. It's pretty cool, nice little piece of press there, and definitely adds to the story. You know, one other thing about
listening to, you know, your album Alone in the Dark, that also reminded me of stuff that I used to do. Is I know that one of the big criticisms that we used to get in any band that I was in writing for is I would, you know, whatever popped into my head is what I would write. And so at that point, people used to like bands to all sound very uniform. You know, you put the album on and all the songs sound essentially in the same genre. But you guys definitely seem to be a band that goes in three different directions, where there's more of those dramatic ballads. You've got a few songs in there that really kind of have more of a country influence. And then you have another handful of songs in there that really show kind of more of a hard rock and metal influence.
Right. You know, it was funny when we started this project, we were going to be country because that's where the money's at. And we were like, you know what, let's try it. But right when we got on stage, we were just totally rock. So we went back and we decided to change all our songs from being country to rock. And so when you hear Shepherd and Alone in the Dark and Vengeful Heart, that's more toward the end of the album when we started turning more rock, metal-ish. And so going into our second album, which we just began, we're going to be releasing a single here probably tomorrow. It gives you a great idea. We're going to go totally rock on this next album and just go all out.
There'll be some ballads, though.
Yeah, there will be ballads. I love doing ballads, so.
Yeah, that seems to be really apparent, you know, listening to this album. And I do have to say that on the title track, holy crap, the range that you had in your voice on that track, it's a killer way, even though it's more of a slow song. Just your vocals on there and the range that you hit on all that stuff is simply amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, one of my biggest influences is Pat Benatar. I just love Pat Benatar. And Chad Austin, my producer, has got me to where I am today vocally. When I first came to him, it was funny. I had the vocal range of Cher, and he just heard something in my voice where he started working with me, and I worked with him for about 3 months. And I'm the kind of person where I'm never satisfied. So I believe that every singer, every musician, every artist can push themselves to any limit they want. So I'm constantly working to get better and better at what I do. I try, when I talk to other people, I try to get them to realize that and to never be satisfied. Because once you become satisfied, you just become stagnant.
That's right. Yeah, you stop growing. And also what I like, too, is I'm a big fan of Leather Leone. I've had her on the show a couple times, and she's a great person, great singer. And some of the songs that you have that are more rock and metal, some of the way that you do your vocals and stuff reminds me a lot of Leather as well.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you so much.
And maybe it comes across to me like that because I've listened to so much stuff that she does, but she's definitely a great singer, and I hear that in there. But I do get the sense, you know, reading all the stuff about you guys and reviews and stuff like that, that you know, the recorded thing is one thing, but it's really kind of a thing of, if you're able to be in San Antonio and Kara and the damn band are playing, it's, you guys really have to be experiences live. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, definitely. We take our sound very serious. What we do on the album, we can reproduce live, and her vocals, I mean, everything she does, you know, that's her. So I don't do a lot to her vocals. So when we perform them live, it's all her.
Mm.
But we always try to put on a good show, and we do put on a good show, and we just rock it. But you know, we do covers as well, so we'll do a 3-hour show and do our originals and then do covers to fill in all the rest of the time. But you know, nowadays original bands don't get paid, so we do the covers to get paid.
Exactly,
it's at work.
Yeah, it was the same way here when I was playing, you know, around here in the Boston area as well. As you know, you do 3 or 4 sets a night, and about 80% of it would be covers, and then you'd be able to throw in a couple of originals per set. Otherwise, you were doing, you know, a night where you'd go in and do one set. You had like 20 minutes to bang out a bunch of stuff and get the heck off the stage type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the price you got to pay.
Yeah, you don't get paid, and you get 15 minutes to set up and 15 minutes to tear down, no sound check, so you're at the mercy of the sound guy who probably doesn't care about you. This is a bad situation.
We used to have tricks for that. We had one is that we had a band that used to work with a lot, be on the bill with a lot, and that guitar player happened to be our engineer and producer when we would go in and record. So he knew our stuff. So we'd always ask him to do sound. The other thing we used to do is we used to bring like some really good looking girls with us that would basically keep the sound guys distracted from drinking until we did our set. And then after that, they would like walk away, and then the sound guys would slowly get drunk over the course of the night, and everybody else would sound worse and worse. So those were our two tricks for getting live sound, good live sound in gigs like that.
Nice. I like it. I like it. We could. I'll definitely keep that in mind for the future.
Yeah.
But we don't do a lot of. We don't do if there's not really good promotional value to doing those shows, we won't even touch them.
Yeah.
We've been asked so many times to go do that, and it's like, I think we've done two of them, and both of them have just been horrible experiences. I mean, we killed the show, but just the logistics of getting in, getting out, and dealing with the sound guy and everything else is just like, it's. And you really don't get paid. You get paid very little.
Hmm.
And but, you know, when we go in, we have our own sound and we go do our own show. We bring our own sound, lights and everything. So I know that we're going to sound great every time that we go play. We got our own sound guy. So, and I think it, we better represent ourselves that way than trying to get in with five or six other bands and do a 20-minute set. Because a lot of times you get lost in the mix anyway. So
that's right, yeah.
Unless you're headlining.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a, and actually that was another thing we used to never do is we'd get offered the headline spot and we'd always be, no, we don't want to be the headliner. Because usually by that time of the night, people were all like, you know, totally drunk. They never remembered the headliner. So we're like, we're always going to go on second to last. And
yeah.
That was always seems to be the primo spot, at least around here, was to do it that way, because it just seemed like no one remembered the headliner. They put on a great show, had a lot of people, but if no one goes home remembering it, you've kind of wasted your time.
That's true. But yeah, I agree. But I want to get paid too. Headliner is usually the only one to get paid.
Yeah, so well, yeah. Pay is definitely good.
Well, I just have a problem with, you know, performing for free because. You know, a lot of people don't respect the musicians in the world, actually, because they don't realize how hard they work to on their craft to go out to perform for everybody. And it's like, it's just like a plumber or an electrician or anything else. You know, they got to go develop their skills. We develop our skills just as much.
That's right. So, yeah.
So, but anyways, that's a whole nother subject.
So, like, how long have you guys been together so now?
Myself and Carol, about 3 years. As far as their band, about a year and a half.
Yeah,
we've been performing a lot.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time in the studio developing our sound and figuring out who we're going to be, what we want to be, and where we want to go.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like finding individuals to join us.
Hmm.
We already know what we are and what our sound is, but I think what Chad's trying to say is that we always are like, you know, open-minded to new technology out there and just making our mixes better and better. One of the bands that we really look up to right now is Rammstein.
Rammstein. I just like the way they mix their music. It's just, I love their mixes.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you hear them, and that's definitely one of those bands, when you hear that mix, it's pretty apparent to me, you know, it's a pretty standout, different-sounding mix.
And it's just very clear. I mean, they got some great engineer and a great producer. Just whether you like their music or not, their mixes are phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. And I think part of what they're really good at is that even though there's a lot of bottom on that, that they're able to give each instrument or each section it's you know its own space in the mix, so it's not overlapping. They're not going, you know, too far with everything with subsonics and stuff like that. They seem like the guys who engineer it really know how to give everything its own unique space, so it maintains that clarity.
Oh yeah, and I strive for that. You know, I don't always get there, but that's one thing I always, when we're doing our mixes, is just to make sure everything can breathe inside the mix. And then but you know, like I said, we pretty much know what we are. We're like, goth metal, melodic metal maybe, with a little bit of country twang, something like that. I don't know.
A little bit. The country twang is almost diminishing, but it's there. It's like barely there, but it's there. And then we're also experimenting with opera, too, like a goth opera, which is really fun to experiment on the second album.
There was one song on Alone in the Dark that really did have that goth sound, and it reminded me a lot of what the band Hydrogen used to do as well, which was kind of more that operatic goth kind of a sound.
I don't like evil dark music. I just like the dark sound. Because, you know, we actually, I mean, if you listen to all our music, we try to portray a positive message for the most part. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're not like pushing the devil, let's put it like that. We're pushing more.
For instance, like my song Alone in the Dark came about by this guy that we were working with at the time in the studio. And he told me when I was on my way to my grandmother's funeral that there was no such thing as heaven. And I was just like really put back by that he would actually say that to me on the way to my grandmother's funeral. So, you know, 2 days later, Chad gave me a guitar riff and I really loved it. It had this haunting sound to it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take that home and I'm going to write to it. So when I was writing to it, whenever I write my songs, I never tell myself, okay, this is what the song is going to be about. You know, I never do that. So I'll just start writing whatever my subconscious gives me. And with, like, probably after the first or second verse, I realized what it's about. And for that song, it was about that guy and being alone in the dark. If you don't believe you're going to be alone in the dark, what is there to live for?
But that being said, this guy read the Bible and would quote scripture, and he would pray before meals. And I was just like, that's why the whole Alone in the Dark thing is like, what, you don't have no clue what you're doing.
I think my favorite line in that song is, fear is a tool for those who play the fool, because he was the fool. And so that song's dedicated to him. And wherever you are out there, that song's for you.
There's definitely, like you said, they're really not dark songs, but there's definitely, you can see that there's, you know, some stuff that's emotion that's in there behind a lot of these as well, which is great. And that's another thing that kind of reminds me a lot of Leather too, is when she writes songs, there's a lot of that stuff is like emotion that she needs to get out, or a story she needs to get out. And you kind of see that a lot lyrically with some of these songs, definitely.
Oh yeah, there's a story behind every song.
Those are the best ones, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I mean, hey, it worked for Fleetwood Mac and Rumors, right?
Yes, I love that album. That was like, that was the best album. She's actually, what you're reading about Stevie Nicks.
I am. I'm reading a huge book on Stevie Nicks, and it's amazing. I love it. And what I find magical about it is, you know, music is a very magical thing for a band to go through that much drama and to be able to stay together because of their passion for music. And it was just amazing to me. And
that's drugs, too.
And drugs, yeah. I was like, wow. But you know what? I mean, look at them today. I mean, they're becoming...
They're still making money.
Yeah, they're still making money. It's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of talent and a lot of history in that band is probably part of what, you know, allowed all that to happen is to just so much history and talent. So, and they were allowed to do it too. I mean, nowadays, I mean, how many bands are able to sit around in a studio for that long and have a label still stay behind them? They're pretty much nowadays. It's like, oh, you're not done in 5 weeks. All right, you're done now, kind of a thing. So,
or that you already got to have it done and hand it to them before they'll find you.
That's very true. Yeah.
The studio. Well, the music industry has totally changed. So the internet has been a blessing and a curse. I mean, we released our album, and I looked on the next day, like, searched it, and I was like, I found like 3 or 4 sites where you could download all our music for free. I was like, wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I guess if they're listening to our music, and we just have to go make our money live.
You know, I think part of it, I kind of have a theory too that it's partly was the downloads, but I think a lot of it too has to do with radio. Now, I know I've listened to some stations out of Texas that actually I listen and go, these are great stations. Like, they're actually playing a good mix of all kinds of stuff. But then you have how many corporately owned stations are in the U.S. now that, you know, Clear Channel owns, God, I don't know what percentage of it. But I mean, those stations only play certain songs and that's it. You know, it's not like before where you had a DJ that won new music and would go in there and pulled all, you know, when I was on the radio, I pulled all my own stuff. No one told me what I had to play. I was bringing my own stuff in. And you know, nowadays you just have such a limited thing that if you listen to a station for 2 hours, you're going to pretty much hear everything over again.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I don't think you have many stations out there anymore that really give new artists a chance. And I mean, what hope do you have of really getting good exposure and good sales if what used to be the main medium of setting out new music, the radio, doesn't do it anymore? You get, you know, the same, you know, 5 new songs that get put out for the month, and you have that plus everything you were hearing last month, and you never hear any other track on the album either. It's just... it's terrible. And so I think, you know, the labels themselves should go back and realize we got to change this model first. Then maybe we could, like, you know, get album sales to pick up again. But otherwise, I think most people, they only know what they hear there. And also because it's repeated so often, I mean, music becomes just background noise. And I listen to your album, but I hate to you as an artist to think that someone isn't actually listening to the song when they're listening to it, that it's just playing in the background while they're doing something. You know, you worked hard, you wrote these songs, you spent a lot of time in the studio getting them right, and you'd want to think that a person actually listens and connects with the song as well. And it's, I think for a lot of people out there nowadays, they don't do that anymore. It's just in the background.
Okay, Eddie Trunk has his thing against the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I have my thing about the homogenization of music. So I guess I'll get down off my soapbox now and return us to our regularly scheduled program, still in progress.
Right, definitely. You know, it's funny because when you see us live, we're a performance-based band, and we don't allow that to happen.
we're not the band in the corner.
Yeah, we definitely stand out. Definitely stand out. I mean, you'll see me climbing, like, on tables and bars, and, you know, people love it, you know, and it's funny because I'll do it when people, you know, are sitting way in the back of the room. You know, I've got a wireless mic, so I'll go over there and you know, get their attention, and they'll stay for the whole show. It's pretty amazing.
But yeah,
that really intrigued me looking at the band bio that you did that. I think that's great that you have that level of interaction. You know, I used to love doing that with the wireless as well, as hop off the stage and walk around. Of course, it used to mess me up. The further out in the club I got, the timing would start to get off. You know, you're trying to interact with the crowd, and as you're walking through the club, you're also trying to remember, like, where you really are, and that, okay, now the band isn't exactly where you hear them anymore and stuff. So sometimes I get too far out, and I'd look back, and I'd have angry faces like, yeah, you've gone too far, Scott. Now you're, like, way off on the rhythm.
Yeah. All right, what's real funny is she might be out in the crowd, and somebody will come up and try to have a conversation with her right in the middle of a song. It's like,
I'm like,
oh man. Yeah, they're out there.
Definitely. Find a thing here.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great though. I mean, I love my audience, no matter what audience it is. It's just, I mean, without an audience, it's just playing in a room. But with an audience, you know, you make your music come to life, and it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I mean, it's great to hear that you've got a band with a vocalist that has that level of interaction with a crowd as well. I think that's really good, and that you're, you know, also able to, you know, that you want to actually connect with the audience, that you're not separating yourself from them and stuff. I think that's really great to see that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Not afraid of what we're feeling, 'cause we know that it's real. Up the stage in a cage, set free for living, wanna know how it feels. Turn it up, give it to the music, rock it loud, come and make some noise, scream and shout, give me what you're feeling, this is what you're waiting for. We do hide some certain feelings, now we let them all out. In the lights, here's for you, this time of giving, for all those who have doubt. Burn it up, give it to the music, rock it loud, come and make some noise, scream and shout, give me what you're feeling, this is what you're waiting for. All right. Turn it up. Music, take control.
So I noticed, Chad, that on the pictures that you had a Jackson. Are you primarily a Jackson guy?
No, I love that guitar. I actually built that guitar. I bought that neck on eBay, and then I had the body made, and then mm-hmm. I put it all together. And I always loved Jacksons. At the time, I really couldn't afford to get the Jackson I really wanted. So I said, I'll build one. And it's like, I built it for probably half the price.
Yeah,
that it would have, but you know, the body's all ash, and you know, that neck's a real Jackson neck, and then I put the EMGs on there. But I love that guitar a lot. But I just bought a Gibson Studio with a Floyd on it, and I use that as my stage now because it gives me a little bit more deeper tone, and that allows my lead guitar player to breathe a little more, and I'm not getting into his frequencies as much as I was with the Jackson.
Right.
So I use it. I love it, but it's really a hot guitar. So it's like, and it's really, I love it, but I do most of the rhythms. I do some lead, but I do most of the rhythms, and I just have a really excellent big guitar player. A lot of them do most of the other stuff, and so I want to stay under him just to keep our stage sound proper.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good way to think about it. I mean, it is great, and I think a lot of people don't realize it, but, you know, because Jackson's, the necks on the Jacksons, and even a lot of the Charvels, I mean, they were really designed for, you know, for playing leads. But, I mean, the same thing that for years I played an early 80s Charvel, and it was basically, I just love the neck for rhythm. It was just a really good neck for doing chords and everything. It just felt good.
Yeah, the frets are really defined. Mm. You're absolutely right. And if I was like really going to use that on stage a lot more, I would probably change off of pickups and go to passive pickups instead of the active ones.
Right.
Just to tone it down a little bit, but I just really like the guitar the way it is. So. The Gibson did a good job there. Looks good. So.
Yeah. Now, have you ever thought about getting a Gibson with some P90s in it?
I thought about it, but I like the tone I got on the Gibson right now. I'm just going to leave it pretty pure. And I use it on the album, too, for recording and stuff. I use that in the Jackson a lot as far as when we're recording.
Okay.
So I get different tones and stuff like that, so...
Yeah. I mean, I just know that like all my Gibsons, I've always just gone straight with humbuckers. And then last year I picked up a Gibson with P90s and just an amazing tone. It sounds a lot like I've got a 76 Explorer. And whenever I play that, everybody's like, oh, my God, that thing has just got this like growly, incredible tone because it's got one of the early original DiMarzio pickups in it as well. So it's just. You know, the Explorer always kind of had a more of a growly sound, and then that pickup added to it. And like I said, every time I'd play it, everyone would just like, they love the sound of it. And I got this P90 guitar, and it was pretty much almost the same exact sound. Great, great stuff.
I might try that, actually. I'm always looking for new, I'm always tinkering. So probably just plant a seed, and it'll probably grow a couple of weeks from now.
There you go. Yeah. And the one that I picked it up in was, they had the 2014 models. It was one of the Melody Maker, so it was a really inexpensive Gibson as well. So I'm like, well, this is great. It's not like I'm going to spend, you know, $2,000 to try out this particular guitar. I think I picked it up for like $500. So just a great, you know, great knock around live guitar, and it just, like I said, it has a really good growly sound in it, and definitely for playing rhythm, it's a great guitar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Check that out.
As you can tell, I'm a gear whore. It's one of those.
I can talk with you hours about gear. Like that and recording, plugins, whatever. It's like, that's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a co-host that he doesn't, he's just a music fan. He's a really avid music fan, doesn't play anything or whatever. And he'll just come over in the studio and he'll sit down and just be like, why do you need all this stuff? Or we'll be, you know, be talking to somebody like Michael Sweet. And the next thing, you know, we talk about a certain amp and he's looking at me, and then I'll like pull something over and point at it. And he just rolls his eyes like, is there something you don't have? It's like, but when you play for, you know, as long as I've been playing, you happen to get a lot of stuff, and you don't want to get rid of that stuff because you never know that one song you're going to need it on.
Yeah, it's called music hoarding.
They
could show on that.
They probably could, yeah. And I would definitely be guilty, but, you know.
I got processors from 15, 20 years ago. I sitting in my closet. I know I'll never use them, but I was like, you never know. Like, you can't get any money for them anymore anyway, so you might as well keep them.
That's right. And sometimes you actually do, you end up finding out that one particular processor you have is all of a sudden, you know, the hot thing. And, you know, just wait it out and see. You know, I definitely know I've got right in my studio rig. And anytime I use it, people go, oh, wow, what is that? It's, you know, one of the old MIDI Verb 2s. And, it isn't as powerful as my TC Electronic one, but everybody loves the sound of that old processor for some reason. So it stays in the studio racks.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a few of those laying around too. I got an old Rockcon Prophecy that I used to love. It used to be my guitar processor that I'm actually looking at right now. It's like, I'll never use that thing again. But I got that Fractal Axe FX.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Yeah, everybody that seems to drift to that really does like that. I've had I've had Dave Reffitt over recording demos here because he doesn't live too far away from me. And, you know, originally he was just all straight amp guy. When he came over here, he was using my amps. But then a little while after that, he switched over to the Fractal, and he was just like, holy crap, dude, you have to get one of these. He was just so impressed with what it does. But I'm kind of torn now between that or a Kemper, because those are kind of my two big, oh, geez, I don't know which one to go with.
Well, I'm going to push Fractal just because I have one, but it is, like, I just, honestly, I used to, you know, use my amp, because I had a Mesa Road King for my amp, and I stopped using most of the stuff. I just use the clean channel on it now and use that Fractal, but I still run through my Celestians, you know, because I like still getting that. I just think you get that great sound from those Celestians.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to go direct into the PA, I don't want to go do the direct thing.
Yeah.
At least not yet, because I just like the sound.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely this the thing about the interaction, too, with the guitar and the speakers.
Yeah.
And you'll never duplicate that direct. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with impulse responses to get there, but you can't duplicate that, you know, live and moving your guitar in and out of the speakers and interacting with it. You just can't do that direct.
No, you can't. You can try with the monitors, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same thing as a bunch of Celestians. Just not the same thing at all.
I just love the sound of four Celestians just coming at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely got its own unique sound, and it's nice to just kind of sit in front of it and let it hit you. So
yeah,
it's almost like a good pick me up drug just to go and do that and be like, yep, I'm alive. This is good.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely.
So, you know, you talk about being in the studio and another album that you're working on. So when do you think that your next album is going to come out?
January. I mean, we just finished a single that I think we're going to release as a single. And, you know, I've been toying with the idea of just trying to keep making singles and then put them all together as an album down the road. I don't know. I don't know that it matters if you come out with an album anymore. I'm like torn on the whole situation. I don't know if you're better off just releasing singles and seeing what happens or putting the whole album together.
Yeah.
I'm just torn on it. I don't know. And a lot of people are doing the little EPs.
Right.
And six song EPs and stuff, and it's just like, that's one thing I didn't want to do. I wanted to do an LP. I wanted to do 12, 13 song, like old school, keep it old school. And I might do that again. I don't know yet. I know that we got like one done. We got about three or four that are written that just need to be recorded, and we'll do the rest as it comes. But I know we can have an album out by January, a full length album.
Right.
I just don't know what the benefits of it is anymore.
I guess what you have to look at is you know, stylistically, you know, where you're going with this next album, and really then what the people that, you know, that listen to that type of stuff, how they consume their music. I know a lot of like melodic metal is really definitely an album oriented type of a fan base. You know, some other metal is definitely more single based, but I know for that one, for the most part, it, you know, especially what I see coming out of Europe, it's really people, they want to listen to the whole album for that type of stuff.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can. And I'm hoping, you know, in Europe that I think we got a better shot in Europe and Asia than we do in America, honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we're going to work it hard and see what happens over there. And hopefully we can go hop on tour with somebody one day over there.
I mean, definitely the music scene is really thriving in Europe. I don't think it's ever really diminished. I'm still amazed, you know, that we get on a station there and I get a notice from the station like a week or so later. And they're like, yeah, we got all this mail that people want you on this time so they can hear you. Or we want you on this time so they can hear you. And it just seems like there's a really big following there. Even we've got one station that we're on that actually repeats us during the week because there's enough demand for the show that they end up repeating us, which is something I never get on any of the North American stations that we're on.
Yeah, it's just the love is like I guess for the pop. I guess that's where it's at.
Hmm.
You know, Kara told me the other day they came out with the top rock bands in the United States, and Lord was one of them. I'm like, Lord is not rock. Do they even know what rock is?
Yeah, it's the same people that gave Jethro Tull the metal award, you know.
Yes, and the best metal performance is Roy Rogers.
All right, Roy.
Metallica.
Ho, 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 ho. Let's see. I think the first thing we got to do is obviously, like you guys were expecting this, we got to thank Jethro Tull for not putting out an album this year, right? And also, obviously, we got to thank the Academy for giving Jethro Tull the award in 1989. Read between the lines, know what I mean? So,
yeah, I mean, it's just gotten so perverted, and I just don't know who's, like, running this industry anymore to where they allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the 90s with the grunge thing really kind of put the screws to rock and roll, honestly. I don't know.
And again, the labels, they shot themselves in the foot there, right? I mean, they were already doing it in the 80s, right? Oh, we got a band that's like Bon Jovi. Now, every label's got to go out there and get their own Bon Jovi or sign everybody that's like it to allow them to kill off. And I think when grunge hit, it was the same thing. Every label went out there and just started harvesting grunge bands and ignoring everything else. And it's like, look back to what you guys had in the 70s, guys, where you actually had variety instead of this like homogenized crap you're starting to go into. And I think a lot of it they did themselves.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. It was just I don't know. And then what happened to the lead guitar player? Like in the 90s, I think they all, like, somebody took all the lead guitar players and locked them away and said you can't play anymore or something like that. I don't remember any solo from 90s music that I was like. But the 80s was all about the solo.
That's right.
And then the 90s was all about no solos in music. It was just like, what? It's just like, and that just made me think that, you know, the musician pool wasn't as talented as the 80s or something, or they were lazy or one of the two. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's very true. I mean, the reason I went from bass to playing rhythm guitar is, I mean, I was writing the songs, but I would just play bass on them. And it got to a point in the 80s where if, when we're trying to get another rhythm guitar player, and I couldn't find anybody that didn't want to just play a million miles an hour. Nobody knew how to play rhythm anymore. And then, like you said, you know, you fast forward 6 years, and all of a sudden, everybody knows how to play rhythm. Nobody knows how to play leads anymore. It's just, it's really bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm just clueless, but I don't know. But, you know, life is a bunch of curveballs. It's like, and the music industry is hard to make money in. It's
just, absolutely. People ask me, oh, you must do good. You're on, you got these syndication deals and everything. I just got to shake my head and be like, how many times I got to tell you, there's no money in music anymore. And a lot of people that aren't in it don't really get it. They still think that there's like tons of cash to be had in there, and there's not.
Yeah, the haves and the have not. There's really no middle. There's no middle ground anymore.
That's right. Absolutely. So as far as, you know, people that have listened to me talking to you guys and want to find out more about you, where's the best place online for them to go and either, you know, hook up with you or, you know, websites or best places to find out about Kara and the Damn Band?
You can just go on Facebook and look me up personally. Kara Stevens is my personal page, and I post everything on there. And then Kara and the Damn Band on Facebook. And you'll see a little logo of the Wings and our Kara and Damn Band logo. Click on that. That's our page. If you want to hear all our originals, you can go to our website at www.karaandthedamband.com.
Nice.
And you can also get our show schedule and pictures, and there's everything on there. So.
Oh, awesome. And I'm glad you brought up the logo, too, because I meant to mention that really seem to represent what I heard too, that there's kind of this, you know, like the classic Jimmy Page, there's the shadow and the light type of thing. And it just seems like there's a lot of thought went into that logo. There's a little bit of Queen going on in there as well. And it's just a really cool logo.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It was inspired by Alone in the Dark, actually, that one song.
Hmm.
I wanted to put a black wing and a white wing on the other side to stand for, you know, good overcoming evil type thing, or the, the symbolic meaning of both kind of challenging each other. And, you know, because I think that's what life is. I think life is a challenge. And today, life is getting to be really scary. And it is, you know, good versus evil. And so, but we wanted to come up with a logo like that. And I thought our music, you know, like you said, when you listen to our music, it reminds you of it. It's because it's got that dark feel, but also a great message behind it. So.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Well, I'll tell you, it's been great. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us tonight. And it's been a blast talking to you guys. And definitely, you know, once the new album is ready to come out, if you want to reach out to me and let me know and, you know, maybe have you guys come back on and let people know about it. Or if you're going to, you know, release a couple singles or whatever and somewhere out there you'd like to come on and let people know about it, we'd love to have you come back.
All right. That sounds great.
Sweet beans.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of the night. And like I said, I really appreciate you taking the time and good luck with any of your shows that are coming up. And hopefully you get a bigger fan base and grow this puppy.
Damn
straight. That's what you want to say. Damn straight.
There you go.
You gotta cover that, but,
that might be a good backside of a t-shirt to have that, you know, something like Karen and the Damn Dan Rocks, and on the back of it says, Damn Straight.
Damn Straight. Oh my God. There it is. That's our next t-shirt.
There you go. You can have that right. Idea for free, courtesy of me.
Yeah. We got it recorded.
We recorded
it. Awesome, guys. All right. Have a good rest of the night, and again, thanks.
All right.
Later. Bye. There you go, my talk with Chad Austin and Kara Stevens of Kara and the Damn Band. And now you know the whole story behind the name, as promised. And of course, we kicked that one off with their brand new single, One Day, One Night. It's going to be interesting to see what happens later on this year. If, you know, you heard in the interview that Chad was kind of up in the air about what they were going to do, an album, EP, a bunch of singles. So we'll have to see what happens there, but hopefully we'll hear some more stuff from Kara and the Damn Band. Not just new stuff, but new metal stuff. Now I kicked the show off with an ID from my friend Leather Leone. And I thought, well, I can't just play her ID and mention her in the interview as well without playing some classic Leather Leone for you. And as you may or may not know, Leather has also gone back to Chastain. And of course, they put out their last one in 2013 called Surrender to No One. And Leather had sent me a message. They are working on a brand new one, hopefully coming out this fall. And when it does, Leather has promised she'll come back on the show and talk to us all about the brand new Chastain album. So I am freaking looking forward to talking to Leather and talking about the new Chastain album. Can't wait for that. So while we wait impatiently for new Leather, let's go way back. I'm talking way back before Chastain, to a little band that she had called Malibu Barbie. Kind of a legendary early metal band back in 1987. There was only one release from this band, and that is the very rare Rude Girls EP. Like to play a track off of that one, When Lightning Strikes. Yeah. Out of the ashes of Rude Girl, that is some classic Malibu Barbie there. One of the few original all-female metal bands from back in the classic metal days. You know, bands included Girl School, and I guess we could throw the Runaways in there as well. Sandy Sledge handled the drums in that band, and of course she still works with Leather Leone to this day in the band Sledge Leather. You can head back into the archives of Focus on Metal on focusonmetal.net and hear my interview I did with Sandy Sledge talking all about the Imagine Me Alive album that her and Leather put out, and there's actually an interview with Leather back there as well about that same album. So it's taken me an entire show to remember what it was that I had to remember at the beginning, and it centers around what I consider to be the holy trinity of very, very cool and talented American female metal vocalist. You know, I had Veronica Freeman on last week, mentioned her in this show, and then, of course, Leather Leone. Beginning of the show, just played your great Leather track, and then it popped into my head. That's what I needed to talk about. And, of course, the third person in that holy trinity is Nina from A Sound of Thunder.
This is Nina from A Sound of Thunder, and you're listening to Focus on Metal.
And I just want to remind everybody that A Sound of Thunder is doing another Kickstarter campaign for their latest album, Shadow Man, Tales from the Dead Side. You can go up to Kickstarter.com and search for A Sound of Thunder. Check out that project. You still have a few weeks to go in which you can contribute and get in on all of the great stuff and awesome packages. Those guys always put together great packages, very incremental as well, and you can really dial into what you think you can afford to throw in the pot there to help them. And yes, I know, you're going to go up there, you're going to see that it's already fully funded, but these guys keep right on going. They're really good about using any extra cash that they get in to just make things better, and they try to do some stretch goal things and say, hey, we've got a little bit more money. Hey, let's add this to every package and all that. So yes, the project is fully funded. It got funded in 21 hours. That really says something about this band and the support they have and the metal community behind them. And I'm telling you, just like every other album that they've put out, this is going to be insanely great. I mean, come on. Nina's vocals, you can't get much better than that, right? And if you get into one of the package levels, it includes some bonus tracks. One of the tracks they've already announced is a great one. It's going to have Veronica Freeman guesting on it as well, and they're going to be covering the Dio's The Last in Line. Who doesn't want to hear Veronica and Nina covering Dio's Last in Line? That is just one of four bonus tracks that they're going to be releasing. There's also going to be a Rainbow track, a Deep Purple track, and a Kansas track. Each one of those four tracks will have special guests on it, and if you get into one of the tier buckets that includes that, that is a great bonus to get a hold of. So again, head up to Kickstarter.com and search for A Sound of Thunder. You'll see it. Shadow Man, A Tales from the Dead Side. Awesome packages there. I'm sure you'll find something that you'll like that will fit with your budget, and you will help support another great independent band. So that is a wrap for another week here on Focus on Metal. And I think I actually managed to make it an entire indie focused episode just to celebrate us also coming on board on the Indie Authority, another great internet station carrying Focus on Metal. So as I said before, glad to be aboard with those guys. And of course, you can keep up with any announcements going on with Focus on Metal at focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Also check our main website, focusonmetal.net. We also will send out things on Twitter and also on Facebook. And while you're up there surfing the interwebs, just a reminder, head up to decibelgeek.com and check out what our friends Aaron and Chris are doing. And of course, go to the friends page and check out a few of those shows that are up there. Hey, maybe check all of them out, and you might discover that there's a few more shows up there you'd like to put on your playlist every week. I'm sure those guys would appreciate the show of support, and it just helps keep the music community growing and going. So again, that's a wrap this week. Put a fork in it. This puppy is done. So for myself and for Richie, for everybody here at Focus on Metal, as usual, have yourselves a great metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
Focus on Metal!
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.